Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best. This is the best of the best show, the new version of the best show. And for people who don't know, the best show takes place each and every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. till midnight over at thebestshow.net. And if you are new to the program, these are little bite-sized greatest hits samples of what we do every week. So check this out. And if you want more, you can listen to the full 3-hour extravaganza and check it out. And if you want to support the best show, the way to do that is to download the episodes and to give us reviews on iTunes and to tell people that the show is back and that you like it. So please check out this new episode of Best Show Best. All right, Best Show back again here. It is time. We're moving along tonight, man. We're moving along. You all right, Mike? You having a good time out there? All right, let's go to the hotline. I'm being told to go right to the hotline.
Yeah, they're going to say hello.
Going right to the hotline, right to the hotline.
Hello?
I have my guest here. No, hello? This is not some trash person on the line. This is an actual super legend. Not just a legend. There are trash people, then there are regular people, then there are good folk, then there are famous people, then there are the upper pantheon, which is the legends. And this guy is in that final category, the highest of high, a legend, one of the kids in the hall, the guy who's made so many laughs for us over so many years. We have Kevin McDonald on the show. Kevin, are you there?
I am there. Hello. Thank you for the introduction. Every time you said super legend, I whispered the word cult in front of it.
A cult.
Super legend.
No, that's not. It's not a cult. Wait, what? Because what is it? It's either you're supposed to be the Michael J. Fox or. Like, was that you're comparing, measuring yourself against?
I feel I know you already. Our definition of super legend would be like culty kind of things. But some people out there, they would think Michael J. Fox, and they would think as a super legend, me as cult. I'm just stating. The Pixies, are they cult legends? I think so.
I think they're cult. But they're not. They're just, it just is now, Kevin. It just, everything just is. It's like,
I know.
There's never going to be another Eagles type size band. Like, that's not happening again in terms of a band selling 20 million albums. Those days are gone.
I know, it's different times. I can watch a movie on a phone. I understand. Yes, you're right.
Wait, you can watch a movie on a phone?
Yes. I took my time machine to the place where they can, yes. But I know what you're saying. No more Michael Jackson, no more Beatles, no more Eagles. I know.
Look, in some of those cases, that some are sad and some are good in other cases.
And so it's all sort of mixing together, maybe, yes. But still, in the real world, and I'm enjoying this conversation, is that millions of people have heard of the Eagles and hundreds of people have heard of the Kids in the Hall.
More than hundreds have heard of Kids in the Hall.
Maybe 900, maybe 1,000.
So it's like an even 1,000? So, you guys, wow.
We made it. We hit 1,000.
My perception of the whole thing is a little different than yours. Oh, boy.
1,000.
1,000.
Okay, I don't know. I just went on Twitter in June, and I have 8,000 followers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't gauge Twitter against anything, because that's just it's like if you didn't get in on that thing in the right 3-month if you got in the right 3-month window, then you have.
When was that window? I'll go back to my time machine. When was that window? Dave Foley has like, I think, 80,000. Uh-huh. He's been there for a while, but he is the most. I'm whispering so I don't hear it. Kevin McDonald.
You don't want to hear the meaning behind it.
Don't tell Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, that is. So you have first of all, you should have more than 8,000 followers. The guy who screens calls AP Mike for the shows, he's gaining on you. Mike's hot on your heels.
Style of tweeting. I'm doing a thing that people are calling. Hey, this is more like serial tweets, like because I don't know how to do 100. What is it? 120 characters. I have to go to like 1,002. That's my favorite number. 1,002 characters. So I do sort of more serial tweets. And maybe I'm boring people.
Well, look, I'm looking at your account right now.
Yes, go ahead.
You.
Am I right? 8,000?
You're hanging strong in the mid-8,000s.
There you go.
You're coming up on 8,500.
There you go.
So, but you also...
I get about 1,000 a month. I've been counting, but I've been getting... I'm a social scientist, and I've been getting about 1,000 a month.
So this is all just a game for you, is what you're saying.
It's a game. It is. It is a sort of a social scientist. I'm using me as a guinea pig, for sure. By the way, I think the Kids in the Hall were the Pixies of comedy. That's why I always say the Pixies. How they paved the way for Nirvana. I don't know who Nirvana was in my allegory, but I feel we paved the way for some kind of Nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you paved the way for that, but you had moments of glory that will stand forever.
Yeah. I think we're great. I'm not being so much self-effacing. I'm just, as my father used to say, I'm just fact-stating, Kevin. Yeah, but you called me fat. I'm fact-stating. So that's what I'm doing. I love us, but we're, I would say, cult.
I gotcha. Yeah. But you, Kevin McDonald.
And maybe in a way we want to be cult. Yeah. Maybe we think it's... We were like 16 when punk rock started, when Nevermind the Bollocks came out. So maybe in a weird way we sort of subconsciously... this is the best interview I've ever had already, by the way. It's sort of like therapy. Maybe this is this was our way of remaining cool, having people like us, but not many people. Maybe that's what we wanted. I don't know.
Well, I'm being told Dave Foley has 158,000 followers.
Oh, my God. So I thought it was 80. Oh, my God.
He's got 150,000 more than you.
Whatever you do, don't tell Kevin McDonald. He'll faint.
Okay. But you, first of all, I say Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall, my favorite member of Kids in the Hall.
Well, thank you. Even if you're lying, it's a very sweet lie. Thank you very much.
But it's not a lie. It's true because you were the funny one, the way I referred to the show.
Thank you. The others sort of say that too. But again, are they just saying that because I was the least successful and they're just being,
I looked at it as they would just, it was like, do you know what T-ball is? Do you have T-ball in Canada?
Yes, the baseball where you put on T, little children?
Yes, on the stand. The other four guys took turns putting the ball on the T-ball stand, and then you were the only one with a bat who swung.
I think I understand.
So you hit all the balls, and they set you up like you were
right.
Like the Reggie Jackson.
Sort of the best description of I know you don't mean just this, but you could use it as the best description of a straight man I've ever heard in my life.
That's they were four straight men
for me, yes.
And teeing up, it's just like we know who the slugger is.
Right. Thank you. And they're always very nice. They always say I'm the funniest. I don't know if it's true. If you go by points. Let's say there's four or five different comedy categories. If you get 5 points for first place, 4 points, I may win by points. For example, for comedy timing, Dave Foley probably is in first place. He gets 5 points. If I'm in second, I get four. For characters, I may be in second place. Someone else would be, like Mark would be five. I would get four. And if you go on, I would get four all the time. So if you add it up by points, I may be the first.
You'd win. It's just the idea, like you just know what it takes to just win, and then it's one of those things where it's like people feel robbed.
One single event, but yeah. he ended came, up winning in points.
He came in third every time. But
the others went from first to fifth.
Yes, exactly. Well, maybe you should have been more likable.
Maybe. Is there a sport like that, decathlon or something, where you can like where you do different things and you finish second or third all the time? You could end up winning the whole thing?
There are things. I think that's like, isn't that like, bike when they do like the Tour de France,
yeah.
Isn't that like all?
Could you win like finishing second every day?
I don't know. I'm not interested in it enough to find out.
Yes.
You know what I am interested in though,
yes.
Kevin McDonald. I'm interested in laughing. So
yes.
And so I got a hold of this album of yours.
Yes, I'm very sorry.
You have an album out now.
I do. Yeah. I call them making faces. It sounds like a bad joke because like in an album you can't see faces. But I don't know any other words, so I'm going to sound like Vaudeville 1928 here, but I do a bit. I call making faces on it. If you heard it, you probably...
I did hear it. It's very funny. And on the thing, you're doing all sorts of stuff. You say you come on saying that you're doing stand-up now, but it's not exactly stand-up. It's an amalgam of styles.
Absolutely. Traditionally, stand-up would require that the comic doing it would have jokes. So right away, I'm not doing real stand-up, no.
So right off the top, you've been disqualified.
Out of that category. I don't finish second in that one.
Uh-huh. You've been disqualified right off the bat.
Yeah, I lose that Olympic event, yes.
Yeah. But you do, there's sketches on there, and there's, yep. You're doing...
I did a couple songs.
Mm-hmm.
And even the thing I call stand-up, and I only call it stand-up because I'm in front of a mic and I'm by myself, I sort of think of it as a one-man sketch show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't really write jokes, as my album proves.
But
get it, everybody.
Yeah, but I've never heard a more ringing endorsement for a thing. It's an album. There's no jokes. I've been doing it for a year. There's no jokes on it.
Oh, you know what happened? May I tell you this, and we'll get back
please,
to this?
Please.
It's your show. I realize that. I just played Yuck Yucks. Have you heard of that? A Canadian stand-up place?
No.
It's a comedy club in Calgary last weekend. And I was brave. I was trying new material out, mm-hmm. but I did old material in front of it. And before it, I do that making faces thing, where I go, where I say, people in the audience always expect me to say jokes. They say, Kevin, tell us jokes, and they laugh at that. And it's going well. And I do this new material, only I'm a little crazy, because the bit is like a half hour long, and halfway through I lose them completely. And they start grumbling. There's a few boos. And one woman yells out, yeah, you're right. Tell us jokes. to which I panic. I wipe my eyes and I go, it's only a few more minutes. Well, I should have lied. It's only a few minutes longer. It's only 15 minutes longer. And then they really got mad. And I said, all right, never mind. I'm sorry. And I went back to the old material.
Now, when people, I love Canada. I love it more. I would rather live in Toronto than New York City, for example, for me personally, because Toronto maybe doesn't have the top 10% that New York City has, but it also doesn't have the bottom 30%. It's kind
Toronto's
of
in second place.
It's kind of the middle. Exactly. It's the U of cities.
Yes. It's the me in the decathlon. It wins in points.
Exactly. The thing you've said twice on this call already, you've said that you're sorry. Now, that's a thing that Canadians get a bad rap for,
yes.
Apologizing.
Actually, in my half-hour bit, I did a thing. I don't think I ever got to the sorry part in Calgary, but I do something about us saying sorry.
Mm-hmm. But it's where what's the origin of that? And how can we get
a
country to stop apologizing?
I always figured, like, when I came up with this theory 20 years ago, I thought that if Canada was a stand-up comic, it'd be Woody Allen, and if the United States was a stand-up comic, it'd be Andrew Dice Clay. I don't know how that happened. I don't even know if I'm correct, but if I am correct, I don't know how that happened. But we grew up because we look like Americans, and mm-hmm. we sound like Americans. We're like that old show from the 60s, The Invaders, where the aliens looked like Earthlings, but you can only tell because their fingers were a little separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure, I don't know if anyone will know that reference, but I do. We're sort of, and because of that, I think we feel inferior, because America is number one in everything. And when you feel inferior, you grew up saying sorry a lot.
Well, you know what? America's not number one in everything. I don't know what things we're not number one in, but I'm sure there's something.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the other great awe-inspiring thing about the States. Even if they're not, they make you think they're number one in everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, name something we're not number one in.
Yeah, and exactly. Then I can't.
Then you're just kind of you're on the spot and be like, told you couldn't name anything.
We got on the moon first, right? Yeah. Right.
Now, this album.
Yes.
It, true or false, Kevin, it is not available on iTunes.
It is available on iTunes.
So that's false. No, that's true.
I'm sorry. You, how did you word it again? You said it's not available on... Yeah. So false.
Yeah, so false. It is available on iTunes.
Yes.
And you recorded this album in New York City.
In New York City at the Pitt Theater.
Yes, the People's Improv Theater.
Theater. Oh, yeah, I can't call it the Pitt Theater because that would be the People's Improv Theater. Yes, the Pitt.
Now, you teach there a little bit, too,
on
occasion.
I come every year. I do a little teaching. A little teaching,
now,
I do.
Now, what are you are you teaching sketch writing when you come down?
Yes, sketch writing in the old way, how the kids in Hall used to do it before we had a TV show, writing through improv. Mm-hmm. So, like, we'd come up with like ideas, and then we'd take our one-line ideas, and we improvise them over and over until we had a scene, then we moved on to the next one. And that's what I'm sort of teaching.
Now, that must be, do you ever just look out at the students and see some people just are like, do the bit from the thing, like they're not there to learn, but they're there
to
feel like.
There were a few people, I've heard this a few times, because at the beginning, it's a workshop thing that I hated when I was a kid in workshops, but I do because it kills time. I start the class with them going around seeing their experience in sketch writing and sketch comedy and improv. And I've heard a few times, I got to be honest with you, Mr. McDonald. I've never done comedy or been on stage in my life. I just wanted to see one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's flattering, but then you must have, you bounce them from the class then?
No, I never do that. And there was one woman who would, I was going to say the city, but I shouldn't say the city because the people may know who, she had, a week earlier, she had been, what's 2015 for Insane Asylum?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Sorry? What's that?
What's 2015 for, what do you call it, insane asylum, politically correct nowadays? What is mental health center?
I guess, like some sort of mental health facility.
Right. Well, she was released from the Fruitcake building like a week earlier, and she had come to class, and she kept, this is the one time where I sort of had to be a teacher, because she kept standing up and interrupting me and talking. Everything I said reminded her of something, and she got excited about something. And for the first time in my life, I exhibited patience. And interest. And she eventually, she got bored of me, and she sat down, and she ended up having a good class.
That's nice.
It's a nice little story.
You broke her, right?
I broke her.
It was like
a horse from the Nutcake, I broke her.
It was like your Mr. Chips moment.
Yes.
Now, do you wear a jacket with patches on the elbows?
Yeah. Yeah. And the new version of Peter O'Toole, I sang a little. Or if it was like a Warner Brothers cartoon, I would have chased around with a butterfly net.
Oh, so you're covering all the bases.
Yeah, right. But I went more Mr. Chips.
So, Kevin McDonald.
Yes. Goodbye, Mr. Chips. We love you. Is now the movie ends.
But this is not how this. We're not ending this.
No. I'm talking more about Mr. Chips. Yes.
You've been doing a lot of voice work too now.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
A lot of in the booth, like you're in the booth now.
I'm in the booth. Yeah, I'm in the booth, and I love calling the headphones cans.
So they just got you in the, but they're like, do we got Kevin? We got Kevin patched in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they patched me in. It's never the same city, and I say to the engineer with me, I say, should I put my cans on? Because he's 26, he looks at me quizzically, and then I say, headphones? And then he nods, and then I'm patched in, yes.
And then you're, because you do a lot of cartoons, so like, what are the things you're doing now? What's
right
about?
Now, the one I'm doing is, it hasn't been out yet, it doesn't come out yet, it's called Bagel and Becky, where I'm a dog, Becky's a cat, and we're brother and sister, and our mom's a human being. It's kind of a strange one.
Wait, what is that? What is that configuration again?
I'm the dog, who's the brother
okay.
to my cat sister.
Okay.
And our mom is a human being, or at least we call her mom.
Yeah, this, I'm not sure. Is this like some sort of Isle of Dr. Moreau type of thing going on?
Yes,
this
the Marlon Brando version.
This sounds terrifying, but it's like in different hands, that would be just like,
yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you about this new horror movie I'm a part of.
Yeah. And they say it's for like 8-year-olds, but it seems to be very, very dark 8-year-olds. It's the most nihilistic thing I've ever done. Do you know my comedy idol Buster Keaton? You know like how some of his shorts were like he'd get his car stuck on a train? A train track, and then looked like a train was coming, and it's a car he just bought, and he's transporting his family, but he gets out, and the train misses the car, and everyone's relieved, and the last second from another direction, a train comes and destroys the car. Mm-hmm. That's what, like, sort of happens in this cartoon every episode.
Yeah, see, I like Buster Keaton, and
he's my favorite. Foley and I are favorites.
I like Harold Lloyd.
Harold Lloyd was good, but Harold Lloyd, it's funny, I think he's a great comedian, and he was a producer, but I always wondered this, and I have no right to say this, like Offset, did he make people laugh? Was the crew always chuckling? Uh-huh. I have this feeling that he wasn't.
You know who I don't like, though, is Laurel and Hardy.
Really?
Like, I saw this one Laurel and Hardy thing, and they're like doing this thing with a piano, and they're just trying,
the famous one, where I kind of love Laurel and Hardy.
But it's like, I saw that and I'm just like, you dudes didn't figure out that there was a side end. Was it like a side entrance for the thing? It's like, that's on you.
They're punchline. Yeah, they're going up the stairs all the time. And then every time they get close, it goes down all the way the stairs. But Laurel and Hardy, first of all, I think Laurel was a comedy genius. I'm sorry, I'm bringing your show to Boreville now. I'm sorry for being bored, but I'm going to keep going. Hardy he wasn't even like a straight man. He was like a great comic actor. And nobody, like, I don't think hitting people with pies is funny unless it's Oliver Hardy. He's the one guy that does it right. Because the whole thing about Comedy A1, about getting hit with a pie, is keeping your dignity. So Stan Laurel would accidentally hit him with a pie, and Hardy, instead of getting mad, would, like, do his tie up and put his hat straighter and then walk away with dignity. And it always made me laugh.
Oh, see, I mixed up. I meant Abbott and Costello is the one I meant.
So Laurel and Hardy did the piano.
Because they did the thing. Abbott and Costello did that thing where it's like, who's on first? And they're... Because look, I look at it this way. If it's in black and white, how good can it really be?
Good point.
Like,
good point.
Seriously.
Listeners, if you take away anything from this interview, that's the thing you take away. Forget the cult thing and the pixies of comedy. Forget that.
But seriously, think about it. If it's in black and white...
How good can it be?
How good it could really be.
That's right. Thank God for Caddyshack in color.
Like if Caddyshack was in black and white, I'd be like, I don't have any time for this.
I don't know why I picked Caddyshack. I did like Caddyshack. I liked it.
Caddyshack, if you watch Caddyshack again, about one-third of it is maybe the most boring movie you've ever seen in your life, which is basically the plot of Caddyshack, where it's just like,
right.
Oh, geez, will this kid get the scholarship? It's like, who cares?
Oh, those rich snobs.
He's not getting along with his girlfriend. It's so boring. You're waiting. It's like, where's Ted Knight?
That's it, you guys. You show those rich snobs a thing or two.
Yeah, that whole snobs versus slobs thing. I get that.
The other third, I forget your math. It's funny. It makes you think you like it, right?
Yes. The other two-thirds make up for that one-third, which is the worst thing you've ever seen.
I don't know if this is true, but I imagine Bill Murray ad-libbed his way through the movie, and it's got some of his best lines,
It seems like he spent 3 days working on Caddyshack.
Wow.
Because all his scenes seem to be pretty contained. Like he's...
On the green.
Yeah, he's either on the green or in like a... his little clubhouse.
What's that great line he has? Is it the Dalai Lama?
Yes, he had a...
What is it? I just remember the punchline, so I got that going for me. when he wanted a tip from the Dalai Lama, the Dalai Lama just gave him some peace advice. Yeah. Your everlasting peace. So I got that going for me.
Yeah. Now, when you look back, Kevin McDonald, not that there's not you looking forward.
Yes.
Because we're looking forward. I know we're looking forward. We have Making Faces is out now, and everybody can get it over at iTunes.
It's Jokeless. Buy it.
It's Jokeless. Buy it.
Yes.
Again.
That's what I wanted the ad to be, but they fought me on that.
They fought you on it's Jokeless.
Yes.
So.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But when
you
look
back right now, I know what you mean. There's plenty to look forward to in my life. I'm not an old man over 50. I understand, but what do you want to look back on?
But when a Kevin McDonald looks back.
Yes.
What are the high points you see? Is it hanging out at the Reveille?
Oh,
eating,
that's a good
eating,
question.
Fries.
Like when it all equalizes.
Fries there.
Like when I'm like 93 and I'm sort of a vegetable. And it all equalizes. Like, what are the happiest memories? Probably the Reveille. The Reveille. For those of you, I'm screaming for people who are listening to the podcast. For those of you who don't know, the Reveille was the club the kids in the hall played at before we got our TV show.
That's right. It was where it all began.
Well, they were sort of exciting. You know, we did a different show every Monday. We did a show every Monday, and it was always different sketches. It was almost like we were pretending we had a TV show. And we were sort of finding ourselves, and you know, we thought we were good, mm-hmm. but we also knew that every comic thought they were good. Mm-hmm. And we had tried to get into Second City, mm-hmm. but Second City said we were too weird to get in. And we were like, when we were talking to ourselves, we go, "Of course we're too weird, man." But also, when we were by ourselves, we were thinking, "Well, I'm 21. Weird could be double speak for bad." But for some reason, we believed our own hype.
Sure.
Pre-Public Enemy, and we thought we were good.
But there were all you were also there to back each other up too. It wasn't like one person thinking maybe I am insane. Was there a point where would it feel like, well, if the five of us are laughing at it, it's got to be funny?
Yes, we always thought that. But the thing is, that how many mediocre comedy troops must think that?
Yeah, but you must have felt some kind of thing happening with it.
Special. Like it did kind of feel special. Like the first few months of the Reveille, only 16 people came, and it felt special. And then all of a sudden, it was like standing room only, and then we felt more validated, special, and it sort of kept getting bigger. And we got a review that helped us get discovered, blah, 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 where this writer said, the kids in the hall assume their audience is as smart as they are. And we never, like, articulated that, but we all walked around and go, yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got it right. Yeah, we do. And I remember that was, like, a special moment of feeling validated.
That's awesome. That's the thing. And you still hold on to that in some way where it's still you because you're still fighting against the thing,
Absolutely. I guess if you like did the DNA of every comic, they would feel like the underdog. But we're also Canadian, and there were five of us, and we couldn't get in the Second City. And we definitely feel like, I mean, you took away that underdog feeling, and we're a cult thing. And like it's like, what was the first thing I said on the show? We're a cult thing when you were calling me a legend. You can't take away my cult thing from me. You can't. You can't make me as popular as Jerry Seinfeld. It would take away our specialness in a way.
Yeah, because it's when it clicks for people, it's the most important thing in their life.
Exactly.
But they're not just passively consuming it and being like, oh, I saw that. Yeah, that's all right. It was that was stupid. I don't know. And they can't tell you two things about it.
Yeah.
Because
fame means nothing. I remember 1991, we were staying in the same hotel as Cato Kalin, the O.J. Simpson guy, and he had way more fans walking down the street than we did. And and fame means nothing. I guess that's why we like the cult word so much. Can I tell you, Scott Thompson?
Wait, you know Cato Kalin?
Who? Cade? Yeah, is that his name? The guy who was living.
Oh, I know. Oh, I don't. I know. You don't have a number for him, do you?
I'll get it.
Right now.
22 years old, but I'll get it.
Okay, yeah. What did you want to say, Kevin McDonald?
Scott Thompson's Lemonade Theory of comedy.
What is his Lemonade Theory?
And I grew up loving Saturday Night Live. I'm not dissing Saturday Night Live. But Lemonade, Most people like their lemonade sweet, let's say Saturday Night Live, and some people like it without sugar and kind of like the lemon taste and the sourness of it. Mm-hmm. And the ones who like the sourness of it really love it. And that's what we are. We're Sour Lemonade.
So you're Sour Lemonade. What if that was the name? Did you ever think the name Kids in the Hall, when you heard it, when you guys came up with it, were you ever think like, hey, I'll be over 50 and I'll still, it's like.
Never.
It's like being a Beach Boy.
Yeah. Never. Roger Daltrey saying, hope I die before I get old. It's too late. Never. It's just a name. You're young. You don't think about like the next year.
Yeah.
And though we all thought we'd make, but also maybe in the back of our minds, sketch comedy, most like troops nowadays are doing it more, but when we were there, no troops, really real troops, made it. They were conquered and divided. So a troop would get some buzz, and then three of them would become big writers, and one of them would become a star, like actor or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the back of our minds, we were thinking that anyway. So why not the Kids in the Hall?
Would you go in with me on a line of merchandise that we could sell to the improv community?
Yes, of course.
Shirt. Well, I like the fact that you said yes before I even told you what it would be. It would be shirts that say, I support the troops.
Yes. T-R-O-U-P-S?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. We could sell them at every improv theater across the country.
I think you might become a millionaire out of this.
Mike, would you buy one of my shirts? I support Mike, the call screener who has more followers than you, said he would support, he would buy one. He supports the troops.
I think you might be going, this is the millionaire idea, I think.
Well, Kevin McDonald.
Yes.
I'm so sorry to say that we've reached that point in the show.
You got the word sorry in, though.
I did. I was trying to make you feel at home.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I had fun. I'm not being phony, though sometimes I am at parties after a vodka. This was fun.
It was fun. I had a great time.
Thank you very much.
Your album is called Making Faces.
Yes, because it's an album and you can't... Shut up, Kevin!
It's great, and it's not laugh-free.
Thank you very much.
There's at least two laughs on there.
Thank you very much.
At least. And people can get it over at iTunes.
Yes.
And thank you for being a guest on the show. I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I love your show, and I'm not lying.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you to say. You have a grand evening.
Thank you very much. You too. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right,
bye. Good night.
That was nice. Kevin McDonald checking in. How about that? Thanks again, everybody, for listening to Best Show Best. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes. I want to thank Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, John Worster, of course, and you. And once again, listen to The Best Show live each and every Tuesday night on your computer at thebestshow.net. Thanks so much.